Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. And we are previewing a Green Bay Packers game this upcoming Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. To talk about that game and to talk about throwback weekend. That's right, this weekend, starting Saturday. There might be people starting a little bit early, throwing back a few beverages. But anyhow, we have Kyle Cousineau of Cheesehead Radio joining us on the phone right now. Kyle, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Glad to have you. I'm getting excited about throwback weekend, and one of the reasons I'm excited, Kyle, is because there will be several members of the national media coming. Who are some of the cognoscente that'll be in attendance at throwback weekend?
Well, excuse me, aside from the local media folks like Jason Wilde, Rob Domofsky, Chris Jenkins, Tyler Dunn, that cover this team on a daily basis. I have been in contact with Paul Pabst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, Mike Silver from YahooSports.com, and Albert Breer from the NFL Network. And all three of those gentlemen are going to be in town. And Paul Pabst has committed to it, said he's going to see us for sure. I actually emailed him again this morning. Mike Silver, I emailed him on Tuesday night, I believe it was, after he was on Packer transplants. He sounds like he's interested. And Albert Breer as well, talked to him about it. And he's excited about it as well. So we're going to have a pretty good contingent of people there, you know, aside from, like I said, the guys that cover the team on a daily basis, you know, people that look at this team from the outside as a piece of the whole NFL picture, I guess, if you will. it's going to be exciting.
Yes, no doubt about it. So, and pardon me, Kyle is part of the organizing committee for Throwback Weekend, as well as being a part of Cheesehead Radio. So that's why we're having Kyle on. And Kyle, prior to the party or tweet up, if you will, on Saturday night at the Green Bay Distillery, there's an opportunity to take a tour of Lambeau Field with other Throwback Weekend attendees. What are the details on that, and how can people sign up?
Well, yeah, Robert Hammond kind of organized this. Him and his sister Patty, who has done Lambeau Field tours at Lambeau Field since 2003, when the renovation was completed. She's been doing tours now, coming up on her 10th year, and she does a hell of a job. I'd be willing to bet you're not going to find anyone else that's more knowledgeable about the team and about the history of the stadium and whatnot. They've set this up. If you want to go, there are a very limited number of spots left. The tours are capped at 35 people per tour. If you are interested in going with the fellow Throwback Weekend attendees, you're going to have to email Robert. And with his blessing, I'm giving out his email address here. It is robert@hammen.org. What he's trying to do is get everybody to PayPal him in advance, because what happens is the day before a home game, every tour sells out. Well, his sister is doing everyone a favor, and she is actually going to pre-purchase 35 tickets for the 4 p.m. tour on Saturday afternoon. She's going to pre-purchase all 35, because usually if it's not a home game weekend, you can book like a group tour, but they don't allow that on Saturdays before home games. So like I said, email robert@hammen.org. There's like a very under a dozen spots left. Robert will be meeting. There's a tour, a sign inside of the atrium at Lambeau Field that says, like, Lambeau Field tours meet here. Robert will be there at 3:45 to hand out the wristbands. The tour starts promptly at 4 o'clock, and if you aren't there in time, you will miss out. Like I said, email Robert, get everything set up. It will be a great opportunity for people that have not yet done the tour, or if you're like me, want to go on the tour for the 10th or 12th time. It's pretty crazy. It's awesome to see, and I believe I know this is the case on every other day, but I think it's the same thing on home games weekends, that your tour pass also gets you into the Hall of Fame that same day. So if you want to go take a picture with the four Super Bowl trophies, you can do just that. You want to go see, you know, Lambeau Field while it's empty and take a look at all the new construction that's going on around there, you can do that. So email Robert and get that set up, and you guys, I'm telling you, you will not regret it.
Now, let's talk about the policy for signing up at the door for Throwback Weekend. There was a pre-registration that people could sign up for online, but now that the deadline is passed, can you tell me about how to register at the door and what registering gets you for your money?
Well, first and foremost, Brian, I just want to make sure that everyone knows that everyone is welcome. You do not have to, I mean, the last thing I want is for someone to feel like they're not welcome to come. Everybody is welcome. We did the pre-registration, and it's not like, you know, if you didn't pre-register, you can't come. Everyone can come no matter what. We did the pre-registration basically so we knew how many T-shirts to order and how much food and beverage to purchase for the tailgate party on Sunday. Now, we have a very, very limited supply of extra Throwback Weekend T-shirts. So if you are interested in buying a T-shirt, I stress to you, get there early, because there's like less than 20 of them available. And if you want to purchase a T-shirt and you want to purchase the whole weekend, the weekend package, which includes a T-shirt, four drink tickets for use on Saturday night at the Green Bay Distillery, and food and beverage at the tailgate on Sunday, that will cost you $60. If you want the Saturday only or the Sunday only package, which includes the T-shirt, four drink tickets on Saturday, or the T-shirt and food and beer at the tailgate, that is $40. Now, once we run out of the T-shirts, and I suspect that probably before the end of the first quarter of the Badger-Cornhusker game, we're going to be out of those T-shirts. If you want, you can purchase Saturday night package for $20, and that includes four drink tickets at the Green Bay Distillery, and it also, the extra money will go towards covering our costs. After the Badger game on Saturday night and on Sunday at the tailgate party, we have a great DJ service. The same guy, the music caterer is his name, that entertained us last year at the Throwback Weekend 1 tailgate party, will be there Saturday night and on Sunday again. I know he's going to have his photo booth up and running. And another thing that I really want to stress, and this has been something that Wally and I have really tried to put out there, we are not trying to make a profit on this whatsoever. If there is $2 left over at the end of that weekend, this coming weekend, that $2 will be donated in the name of Throwback Weekend and Throwback Weekend attendees to the Jimmy V Foundation. Now, I'm hoping that there's going to be a lot more money left over. So we're also going to have out a donation jar. That money will all go to Jimmy V Foundation for cancer research. It's something, obviously, cancer has touched every person that I know. You know, everyone has a story about a relative or a mom or a dad or a sibling or, you know, a cousin or something that has had cancer. And, I know there's a couple Throwback Weekend attendees that have fought and beat cancer. I know for sure there's one that is still fighting and kicking cancers behind. So we're trying to raise as much money as we can for the Jimmy V Foundation. And we picked that charity because we're all sports fans, obviously. We're all diehard Packer fans. And if you watch ESPN at all, you know that they're a big big Jimmy V Foundation supporter. So we're gonna try to raise a little bit of money for them as well.
Fantastic. Before we talk about the game here, is there anything else we haven't covered yet, Kyle, that you wanted to say about Throwback Weekend?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I really hope, you know, I just want to stress again that everyone is welcome. You are not required to purchase any package. What we're just trying to do is basically, Green Bay Distillery is giving us a little bit of a discount with the drink tickets that we're going to be selling. The drink tickets, you know, they're good for a 16-ounce Miller Lite, Bud Light, Coors Light. What else is there? Alani's Honey Vice. And if you don't, you know, those normally go for $5 is what they usually charge, but they're giving them to us for $4 with the drink ticket. So basically, if you want to spend, spend the money, you're going to save yourself a dollar a beer. The other thing I do want to stress as well is the bartenders, we are not paying the bartenders. They're getting paid through the Green Bay Distillery. So I just want to stress, and maybe this is just me being in the service industry, to just take care of the bartenders if you are coming, you know what I mean? Just make sure that if they're doing a good job, just throw them a few bucks for their hard work. But yeah, other than that, I'm really, really looking forward to this weekend. Wally Pingle and myself, we're going to go do all the shopping today. It's going to be a great time. And I also, one more quick thing. I really want to thank, yourself, Brian, and Corey Benke and Aaron Angler from Cheesehead TV, one of the founding sponsors of Throwback Weekend, and obviously Wally Pingle. And, it's going to be a great time. We're putting in a lot of hard work, but I really hope that everyone enjoys themselves. And like I said earlier, and I just want to keep stressing this, that everyone is welcome. This is not like some, private event by any means. If you want to show up for one beer or a Coke or a water or whatever, you, more than welcome to show up. Just come and have a good time and enjoy the conversation.
Sounds good. Now let's talk about this game a little bit, Kyle. There was a little incident, a very little minor incident on Monday that I think everybody's forgotten about now. But anyhow, how do you expect the Packers to play on Sunday? Given the circumstances that happened on Monday, how are they going to react? What's going to happen Sunday?
I think more than any other team in the league, the Packers thrive on being that the team with the chip on their shoulder. We know that it drives Aaron Rodgers. We know that, the team is made up of a bunch of guys, even like Charles Woodson, who, Heisman Trophy winner, first-round draft pick, Hall of Famer. After he was done with the Raiders, nobody wanted him. He was a cast-off. He lands in Green Bay and revitalizes his career. You look at guys like Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and James Jones and, even Cedric Benson, cast-off. Nobody wanted him this year. That I really think that team thrives on being, I don't want to call him the underdog because you can't really call a team that won 15-1 and won the Super Bowl the year before that an underdog, but I think that's their mindset. Is it's us against the world, and I'm expecting some big things out of that whole team. The defense is playing better than we've seen them play in 2 years. I think Aaron Rodgers is finally going to get back on track. I read a stat earlier this week that he had 11 touchdowns through three games last season. He has only 3 touchdowns this year. I really can see him getting back on track and getting the ball rolling.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this team is going to be more motivated for this game than any game in quite some time. It's rare that I would predict a Packers blowout, but I'm not necessarily going to say that's going to happen, but if there's any game it's going to happen, it could be this Sunday.
What I could see happening, remember the Cowboys game a couple years ago when we played them on Sunday or Monday night, and it was just a dismantling?
Yes.
Where everyone thought that the Cowboys were, was that 2009 or might have whatever it was, when everyone thought that the Cowboys were, the NFC favorite, and they came in here and Tony Romo just got shut out and shut down. Like, I can envision a game like that would be completely one-sided. Defensive, turnovers. We need a defensive touchdown this week. Maybe another special teams touchdown on a Randall Cobb. Cedric Benson, I think, is going to have a great day. As much as he ran the ball last week, if he does that again against the Saints, who have the worst run defense in the league of like 210 yards, and granted that, last week they gave up over 200 to Jamal Charles, so those numbers are a little bit skewed. But they're the worst run defense in the league by like 50 or 60 yards from the 31st place team. So I envision a good mix of runs, passes, and I wouldn't be surprised to see A-Rod and Jennings or A-Rod and Jordy hook up for a long touchdown or two as well.
Yes, absolutely. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us here. Appreciate talking about Throwback Weekend, and I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, sounds good, Brian. Thanks again for everything that you've done, letting Wally and myself come on and ramble on about our event. We're looking forward to having everybody. Once again, everybody is welcome. If you just want to show up, you're more than welcome. We're going to have somebody at the door that'll be happy to greet you. And just come and hang out. It's going to be a great, great time.
Fantastic. Kyle, thanks a lot for joining us. Kyle Kuzno of Cheesehead Radio, one of the Throwback Weekend organizers, joining us here on Railbird Central to preview the weekend's action. So excited about that. Excited to see all of you there. I'll be there Saturday night. I'm ready to get my drinking shoes on. This is internet radio, right? I can say that. You might not hear that on terrestrial radio, but I am ready to party with some Green Bay Packers fans, enjoy the revelry, and most of all, I can't wait to watch the Badgers play the Huskers. I'm really not all that confident that the Badgers are going to win, but I'm a diehard Badgers fan and ready to watch that game on Saturday night with some Packers fans. So, anyhow, yes, Packers taking on the Saints this weekend. I said it in the interview with Kyle. Like I said, I'm not sure I'm predicting the Packers to blow out the Saints, but like I said, if there's a game, it's going to happen. It's going to happen Sunday. If it's going to happen, I really wouldn't be surprised. It's kind of twofold, mainly because I think the Packers are going to be more motivated for this game than any other game in quite some time. And on top of that, this is a team that has some real issues coming in with the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are 0-3, and not only that, they've lost to teams that are, didn't I see a stat that every three teams that beat the Saints, that is their only win of the season is against the Saints? the teams that beat the Saints, their combined records against every other team is like 0-6 or something like that. It's crazy. So, Kyle mentioned it. The Saints are the team with the 32nd ranked rushing defense in the NFL. So you like to see that if you're the Packers. Now, the Packers just got to take advantage. And as most people on this show who listen to this show know, the Packers aren't really known as a team that takes advantage in the run game. Can they this upcoming Sunday? We know they didn't last week on Monday against the Seattle Seahawks. 27 pass plays, 27 offensive plays in the first half. I like to cite this statistic a lot. Packers had 27 offensive snaps in the first half against Seattle. Of those 27, 24 were designed pass plays and 3 were runs. 27 out of 27, 24 pass plays, 3 runs. I mean, they didn't even try to run the football. Didn't even try in the first half. You know, if it's one thing, if you try and fail, the Packers didn't even try last week. And that has to change. That has to change. You know, I've been in the corner of Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, and rolling with the pass game for quite some time. They've shown they can win with it. It's just the way the NFL's trending. I think it's the way to go. I used to be skeptical when I was younger and thinking that you couldn't do that in cold weather. Well, that's not even the case. You can frickin' pass the ball all over the place if it's 20 below, as long as there's not much wind and rain and snow or whatever, sleet. You have to give a little bit of attention to the run game. And when you do run, you have to have moderate success. The Packers still don't have to be a great running team. No, they don't. I mean, but when they do run, they got to average 4 yards a carry. If they do that, they'll be fine. They'll be fine, you know? Cedric Benson doesn't need to carry the ball 25 times a game. He can run it a dozen times, maybe a little more. And as long as he averages 4 yards a carry, Packers will be good. That'll be enough to open up the play action, and the passing game will flourish as well. So the Packers got to just make a little bit of a concerted effort to get to get the run game going. If they do that, you know, I think they'll see a little bit more success, and especially facing a Saints defense that is so poor against the run. It, you know, the front line of the Saints, really not all that good. Not only can they not defend the run all that well, the Saints have not done a good job of applying pressure on opposing quarterbacks either. And I suppose maybe that's a case of something's got to give on Sunday. The Saints haven't applied any pressure, but yet they got to be licking their chops because the Packers have given up the most sacks in the NFL this season. 16 of them. 16 of them. So that is four more than any other team in the NFL. Four more. Next closest, 12. Yeah, Packers pass protection, not doing well. And the blame can be passed around everywhere. It can be placed up upon the play calling, like I alluded to earlier, when the Packers didn't even try to run the ball on Monday night, and thus the Saints just teed off on their pass rush. They didn't even have to honor the Packers' run whatsoever. So you can blame the play calling. You can blame the offensive line. And wow, how bad has Brian Bulaga been this season? It's just really surprising. Nobody expected that whatsoever. Unfortunate, and you know, nobody's given up on Brian Bulaga. He could turn it around in a second, but really disappointing. Just not expecting that from him. You might have called him the Packers' most solid offensive lineman coming into the season, arguably, but still. The blame falls on Aaron Rodgers for holding on to the ball too long. You know, not every play, but certainly he's got his own share of the blame. And I know John Kuhn was at fault for one of the sacks this past Monday as well. So, I mean, blame can be passed around everywhere in terms of pass protection for the Packers. It's got to get better, and maybe it will. Remember in 2009, if you're a hardcore Packers fan, that was the year the Packers were like giving up. They were on pace for giving up a record number of sacks in 2009. Offensive line was really struggling, and so was Aaron Rodgers. Still, you know, he had his issues not getting rid of the football. They had their come to Jesus meeting, if you remember that, after the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, I just remember back to that year. It happened about mid-season or so to the Packers, and the Packers ended up playing really well after that point, really well. They went on a winning streak and, you know, went to the playoffs. 2009 wasn't the Super Bowl year, but still, good positive year. And it was a case where I'm glad the Packers gave up 8 sacks in week 3 as opposed to midseason. You know, maybe they get over it now. Maybe they get over it early in the season, get over their woes now, and start putting things together. Start putting things together. DJ Protege says on our live blog, score on the first drive. Yeah, this has been a slow starting team. Packers have scored 0 points in the first quarter of all three games this year. 0 points in the first quarter. And haven't been that good out of the gates after halftime either. They have 3 points in the third quarter of every game this season. So that's a combined 3 points between the first and the third quarters alone. So they've done all their damage in the second and fourth quarters. And most of it actually in the second quarter. But, I think things will turn around. There's too much talent for the Packers to not turn things around. With Aaron Rodgers, a good core of wide receivers, even though they've been underachieving, this is an opportunity for the Packers starting Sunday to turn things around. You know what? I saw some talk on the live blog earlier wondering about James Starks and Davon House. And, you know, I mean, the talk is about them because they've been injured, been on the injury report every week, and they haven't played yet this season. And you know what? Those two guys, I just want to comment on them briefly here. But interesting case there. I have a really hard time seeing those guys making an impact the rest of the season. I don't see how you can keep Devon House active for a game anytime soon. Maybe he is ready to play, but I don't think the Packers will take the chance of him playing. They'll just let that injury to his shoulder heal for as long as possible. And they'll do that because they have the luxury of the Packers, have the luxury of Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, playing well. Where's Devon House going to play? You're not going to take Sam Shields out of the game the way he's been playing right now. You're not going to take Casey Hayward out of the game the way he's playing right now. You know, those guys have been playing great. You know, I'm sorry, but Devon House, you're out of luck. And you know what? They're not going to give House a spot in front of Jared Bush because now he's relegated to special teams. And Jared Bush is a stud on special teams. So he's not getting, he's not going to be ahead of him either. So, Devon House, take this as an opportunity to get healthy. If there's an injury, then is your chance. You know, if all of a sudden Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, Tremont Williams gets injured later the season, then's your chance. But until then, get healthy. There's no room for him. No room for him. And same with James Starr. Who do you make inactive for James Starks? You're not going to do it for Cedric Benson. Are you going to do it for Alex Green? Are you going to make him ahead of Alex Green or Brandon Sane? I guess you could make the argument that the Packers could make Brandon Sane inactive and James Starks instead. But, Sane is a special teams player and James Starks is not. James Starks does not play in special teams whatsoever, doesn't offer anything. But, it's interesting. I don't know what you do with James Starks. I think you go with Cedric Benson, just like the Packers have done so far. They ride him, and you just give a handful of snaps to the other backs, if that, you know. One thing the Packers have to do, is get Randall Cobb some touches. Holy cow. I am ticked over that. Randall Cobb played 9 offensive snaps against the Seahawks. 9. I don't understand how after he played against the 49ers, his playing time is getting decreased after the dual threat he provided against the 49ers. Out of the backfield, in the slot, Randall Cobb needs to be on the field. He doesn't have to be on the field every play. You know, he doesn't need to play as much as Jordy Nelson. But, I saw the statistics from the NFL. Randall Cobb played 35 snaps in week 1 against the 49ers. That was roughly about 50% of the team's offensive snaps. So roughly, the Packers played 70 snaps on offense, and Cobb was on the field 50% of the time. That is exactly what he needs to be doing going forward, playing roughly about 50% of the time. And you got to get him his touches. I think he's got to play in the slot as the wide receiver. He's got to play at running back. I think you do have to give him a few rushes a game. John on the live blog says, you might want to involve Driver more. He seems to be getting open at least. You know what? I have to respectfully disagree, John. I just don't think you can play Donald Driver more at the expense of playing Randall Cobb less. That just is not making sense to me. I love Donald Driver. He's on the team. He can stay with the team. But you know what? It is getting harder and harder to justify keeping Donald Driver active each week when he is playing a handful of snaps a game. Because Donald Driver also doesn't offer anything on special teams. You know, if you're going to be active, you got to offer something. And Donald Driver right now isn't offering it, as I don't think Devon House is going to offer it. I don't think James Starks is going to offer it. You know, I don't know. I'm just skeptical of what those guys are providing the Packers. And I'm not sure Donald Driver deserves to be active on game days. Prove me wrong. Donald did prove me wrong in the Chicago game. He caught that pass, but I will say this too. You know who I do think is worthy of decreased playing time is JerMichael Finley. It's time to send a message to JerMichael by decreasing his snap count significantly. Not zero or anything like that. No one's going to bench JerMichael Finley. But, I think it's time to send a message there. Give increased playing time, as Brad Stanley says on the live blog. DJ Williams deserves a chance. And I think he does. I think that's only going to help JerMichael Finley, actually. You know, and seriously, like, maybe if all of a sudden he's not getting playing time, maybe he'll get a, you know, maybe it'll send a message. Maybe JerMichael Finley is not bright enough to get that message. Sorry, JerMichael. But, it's wearing thin. It's wearing thin. And it only increases over time. Only increase. I lose my patience more and more all the time. Anybody. I see DJ Protege checking in on the live vlog. DJ has a family member that is very sick right now. Needs open heart surgery. I think was the link provided earlier to DJ's fundraising efforts. I encourage everybody who's listening to the show, check out the link provided by DJ Protege, fundraising for a fellow Packers fan. Here we go. giveforward.com/Maya Katich Fund. Check that out. If you can, lend a few dollars. Help out a fellow Packers fan in need. Do that, folks. And that's going to do it for today's game, today's show, folks, here on a Friday on Railbird Central. That'll do it. I'll see everybody at Throwback Weekend starting tomorrow. I'll see you at the Green Bay Distillery. Can't wait to see you there. We'll be back on Railbird Central Monday morning. Once again, we'll have Packers long snapper Brett Goud. We'll have Oh Snap with Brett Goud on Monday morning. So check that out then. Can't wait to see everyone. On behalf of Jamie Jores, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Kirivu. Have a good weekend, folks. Cheer on the Packers and go Pack go. I leave you today with a song called Cemetery Walk 2 by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.